From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is Tell the Truth Faster, as I said. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? This is, I'm glad to say, my first show at my new day and time, Saturday at 1 p.m. I've been doing the show for about 2 years, and the last year on KXAM, a great home and a real supportive staff. And really glad to be here. And if you're listening for the first time, I'm actually going to be talking today about the title of the show, Telling the Truth Faster, why I picked the title, what it means to me, and how it seems to resonate with a lot of people who hear it. I mean, that's how I got connected with it. I was at a workshop 20 years ago, and it was a very brief statement that was made at the first night of this weekend workshop called the Loving Relationships Training with Sandra Ray. And it was one of those things that when I heard, this energy just shot through my spine, and I said, oh, of course. It sounds so simple, but a lot of us are afraid to speak our truth. We're afraid to even look at it, listen to it, listen to our intuition, communicate. And Anita on her show before this was talking about communication issues in relationships. And as a psychotherapist, most, I'd say 99% of the couples that I work with, as well as individuals, one of the main problems in the relationship is honest and vulnerable communication. So this is a live show, and if you're listening either over the internet or local in the Phoenix area, the number is 480-949-1310. Be glad to take your calls at any time during the show. Now, telling the truth faster. Everyone out there listening, I want you to think of something that you're holding on to, quote unquote, for dear life. Some piece of information, some secret, something you really wish you could have the courage to say to someone or admit to the world. So if you're holding on to something, as we say, for dear life, you're soon going to discover by the end of the show that what you're holding on to for dear life is actually killing you. When I approach therapy, I talk from a holistic perspective. We're talking about body, mind, and spirit. And I'm one of those therapists that's willing to talk and feel it's important to talk about that balance between body, mind, and spirit, which means talking about however you define spirituality, not necessarily in a religious context, but that essence that's greater than yourself and filling yourself, that if you don't acknowledge to a certain extent, your life's out of balance. Therapies that totally just deal with the intellect, with what's going on mentally, and don't deal with what's below the neck, what's going on in the body, how those messages that the body is giving you comes from the emotions, and how those emotions are affecting the body, the repressed emotions. Now, we all know how great you feel when you're expressing emotions, when you're laughing and having a great time, or when your heart's totally open and you're in love and all those wonderful things are going on. We tend to be healthier. We tend to feel lighter. We tend to sleep better. We tend to just have a much better attitude. And because of that, we tend to be more productive during those times. And when we're not in that space, when we're shut down, when we're in fear, when we're in shame, when we're in guilt, when we're angry and we're not expressing it, what usually happens? Depression, isolation, leaking that anger all over the place and oftentimes causing problems on the job, missing work, not eating properly, not getting enough exercise, all of a sudden our lives become smaller and smaller and smaller. So what is it that you're holding on to for dear life? You know what it is. As soon as I said it, I'm sure for 90% of you, something immediately came to mind. Now imagine for a minute what that's doing to you. Just as it came to your consciousness, what happened in your body? Get in touch with that. Be honest with yourself. Did you get a knot in your stomach? Did all of a sudden a headache start? Did you start sweating? Did you start feeling sad? Did anger start coming up? What happened when you got conscious of whatever secret, whatever piece of information, whatever part of you that you're holding on to for dear life when you became conscious of it? Now imagine for a minute, and if you're not driving out there, close your eyes and allow yourself to go inside and create this fantasy of what it would be like to actually speak the words, whatever it is. If it's something you need to say to a family member or a life partner or someone you're dating, if it's a boss or an employee, sibling, whoever, whatever. Play out that fantasy, play out that image of what it would be like to actually say the words, I'm angry at you, and I'm angry at you because, or I really love you and I've been afraid to tell you, or I feel so ashamed of myself and I feel so guilty and I've done something terrible and I need to own up to it. Now, personally, especially if this is the first time listening to the show, you've heard already that I'm a psychotherapist. I am in private practice, actually in Los Angeles, and the issues that I've been dealing with in my life, anybody who's listened to my show or know me knows that I self-disclose. If it's something relevant, something about me that makes sense to the topic I'm talking about, I'm very open about it. So one of the things that I can relate to with keeping secrets is I'm a gay man. And I know what it was like as a child knowing that there was something different about me, even knowing that what it was something that was going to be judged by people, even as a child. As a teenager, it was even worse because now the hormones are racing and, you know, I can't do anything that would give away the secret. And the feeling of when I first came out, when I first said the words, in fact, I remember in high school, in my senior year, I was in such pain that physical problems started happening, and the doctors could find nothing wrong with me, and the physician, after doing all sorts of things, from barium enema to GI surgery, all those wonderful things that none of us really want to go through. You know, here I am, 17 years old, and senior in high school, and the doctor sits down with my mother and myself and my dad, and he says, we cannot find anything physically wrong with him. Now, this is 1967, and he looked at them and said, maybe he needs to speak to a psychologist. And all I can remember is I wanted to get up and kiss that doctor. It's like, I didn't know how to ask for this. I knew I needed someone to talk to, and I knew the things that I needed to talk about. I could not talk to my parents. And so they set up an appointment for me, and I remember at the intake appointment, sitting there literally for half an hour, my body shaking, sweating, trembling, a knot in my stomach, and it took me a half an hour of that silence, and God bless them, they were so patient with me, to say, I think I have homosexual tendencies. 1967, you know, pre-Stonewall even, it's like, how does a 17-year-old get the courage to say something like that? But all I knew is I had to be honest with someone. And the sense of getting those words out of my mouth, hearing it aloud, and knowing that somebody was listening to it, was the most amazing transformation. Of course, it was years before I actually finished dealing with it. But it was the beginning of a process. Now, that's a pretty serious thing, and maybe some of you out there are struggling with the same issues dealing with sexuality. Maybe you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Maybe you're heterosexual, but you're struggling with issues that deal with your sexuality, how to express it, things that you desire, things you fantasize about that you're embarrassed or ashamed of and think you're the only one thinking about those things. Or maybe there are things that you really do fantasize about that you know are very inappropriate, like pedophilia and things like that, and you know you want some help about it, but you're so shame-filled that you don't know where to turn, because you're afraid that if you say that you have these feelings, that someone's going to take you out to a firing squad and kill you. Reach out for that help. The power of telling the truth is amazing. Now, play out that fantasy in your mind. What is it for you that you need to say, that you need to talk about? And maybe you want to call in with that today, and I'll remind you that the phone number is 480-949-1310. Now, honesty is something that we all talk about in our culture and our society. Telling the truth is something that everybody espouses, but very few people really have the integrity to stay with it and to do it. And let's talk about politics, for instance. We look at our politicians today, and everybody talks about integrity and honesty and who can we trust, and most people say, I can't trust any politician because we know that they're all lying. And then we find somebody that in a lot of areas is actually being honest, but have their own little pockets of secrecy. Of course, the first one that comes to mind is Clinton. Okay? Look what this country went through because he was afraid to say, I have a problem, and yes, I've been doing these things. And part of it was his own shame. He's a world figure. But I do believe that the hardest part for him was not so much what the whole world would think, but what Chelsea and Hillary were going to think and how they were going to react. That takes it down to the core for any human being. The biggest sense of abandonment, fear of abandonment, is with those that are closest to you. So it's not just his own embarrassment and humiliation, but the fact that he was going to be hurting people close to him. Now, we all know, as I said, the truth will set you free. How long are you willing to leave freedom on hold? Once he got honest about it, he set into motion at least something that was able to lead to some completion. He and his wife and daughter could start talking about, you know, his process and the lies that he told them, never mind the whole world. And he was able to get the impeachment stuff behind him and get back to governing. So his whole presidency was really put on hold because of this lie that just took up so much time and energy and money. So that was one example. Now we even look at what Bush is dealing with. How honest was he about Iraq? I mean, I try to give equal time. So if I'm going to criticize Clinton, I'm going to criticize Bush here. Okay? You know, how honest was all this information? And, you know, can we really trust it? Personally, I don't. I do believe that we were led into this war, and, you know, it was not the right time. Everything else hadn't been dealt with, and I think that there were a lot of ulterior motives that went into it. But the reality is we're in it, and he has to deal with the repercussions, and those that are being killed over there have to deal with the repercussions and their families, and the Iraqi people have to deal with it. And I do believe they wanted to be free, but it's a mess over there. There wasn't a follow-up plan. So the honesty level with both Clinton and Bush is circumspect. Now, let's look at religion. Let's look at what's happening in the Catholic Church today to start it. And I'm going to use it because it's what's in the headlines. But we could look, I mean, I was raised Jewish, and, you know, we could look at a Baptist church, the Mormon church, any church. There's a hierarchy, and that hierarchy is built of human beings. Any religion is there to help us with our spirituality, with our core essence, to keep our hearts open and to love unconditionally, without judgment, without causing all this kind of infighting. But look at the Catholic Church. Catholic Church has known for decades and decades and decades, and maybe even centuries, that priests have been sexually abusing boys and girls. Okay? We now know that there's been tons of cover-ups. I have two personal friends that were the victims of being abused by priests when they were kids, and both are part of settlements because of it. But I look at their lives and I see what a living hell they've been in because of what has gone on in their childhood, how they've questioned their own self-worth, how they've questioned their relationship with God, how they mistrust anybody of authority because of all this went on. And the priests may have had problems and the sick people that needed help, but the hierarchy that kept it undercover for so long, that transferred them from parish to parish or slapped them on the wrist or did very minor things, were even more culpable, I think, than the priests, because those priests could have gotten help a long time ago. But the secrecy within the church, the secrecy was their fear that everything would fall apart. Well, you know what? A healing process started at that point. And we're going to take a short break here. And we're going to come back and we'll continue talking about telling the truth faster. And I'm going to cover a lot of other areas. And this is Stuart Altshuler on KXAM, Tell the Truth Faster. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, a licensed psychotherapist. And this is a show where we deal with mental health issues every week, and now newly on Saturdays at 1 p.m. every week. So hopefully if you're listening in your car or listening over the internet or anywhere, that you'll become a regular listener. And I remind you, it's a live call-in show. If you have questions or some comments about anything that I'm talking about, the phone number is 480-949-1310. And you could also email me, by the way. I have a website for the show called TellTheTruthFaster.com, and you can listen to past shows that are archived on the website that are there. You can check out whatever topics I've picked and listen to the shows from as long ago as 2 years ago. So I was talking about telling the truth faster and what's been going on within the church. And like I said, I could go to any church and any synagogue, any mosque, and there are people dealing with a lot of conflicts within their religion, because I think churches and synagogues and a lot of organized religions get away from the true essence that they came into being for, which is to help people deal with their own personal relationship with a higher power, with God, with whatever feels comfortable for you, in a sense of something that connects all of us to one another. And unfortunately, so many religions start teaching separation from one another. We're right and you're wrong. We know what's the truth and you don't. Instead of honoring the fact that, you know, I believe that there are many paths to heaven and all of them can be right, so long as they deal with truth and integrity and unconditional love and doing good in the world and helping heal the environment, heal relationships and things like that, instead of trying to destroy and take things away. So we talked about politics and I talked about religion. Now let's talk about corporate lies. We have a perfect example, whether you believe she's guilty or not guilty. We have Martha Stewart yesterday being convicted of 4 counts of what? Perjury, lying, making things up, trying to cover up. And I heard, actually it was on this station, I think yesterday as I was coming into town, into Phoenix, someone very astutely, one of the hosts of, I forgot which show it was yesterday, said if she just at the beginning had said, you know what, I did sell them. Somebody called me and said so-and-so was unloading a lot of stock in it, and so I figured I better do the same. Oh, you mean that was wrong? Oops, sorry, I'll pay the fine. She wouldn't have gone through these millions. The federal government wouldn't have had to pay out all these millions for the trial and for all the investigations and everything else. She probably would have gotten away with a slap on the wrist and a fine and gotten on with the company, and nobody would have been in this circus. And she wouldn't be going to jail right now. And I truly believe that. If she just was honest up front and owned it, none of this time and money would have been wasted, and her life and company may not have been sidetracked as much as I think it's going to be. Let's take a look at the movie The Insider, the tobacco companies. The amount of lying that's gone on about how harmful tobacco is. And there was a show earlier today that was dealing with inflammation and talking about, I forgot her name, Doc Watson, and she or somebody on the show had said something about the fact that more people in this country have quit smoking than in any other country in the world, which is a testament to the truth that's finally come out about tobacco, about its harmful effects. And we've been listening. And people have been making changes in behavior. And those changes in behavior are improving people's attitudes and health, and people aren't as, you know, emotionally up and down because they haven't gotten their nicotine fix, and the money being wasted on medical stuff because of, you know, all the smoking. And the truth is, the tobacco company have known for decades and decades and decades that smoking tobacco has been harmful, and they covered it up. It takes a courageous person to tell the truth, whether it's somebody being a whistleblower in corporate America, in the religious or politics. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to be honest. Where it takes the most amount of courage is in our own personal relationships. And that's what we're going to be talking about now. Where it takes the most amount of courage to be honest and tell the truth is in our own personal relationships, whether that's with a significant other, a spouse, whether it's a gay or straight relationship, it doesn't matter. It's about intimacy. There's more of a risk. It's about vulnerability. And when you're vulnerable, you're taking more of a risk of losing something that you think that relationship is. But what most people do is they live in this fantasy of what they think that relationship is, because as long as you're withholding information, as long as you're not honestly communicating, then that relationship is not half of what you really think it is, because you're covering up things, you're lying, you're withholding, which means there's a piece of you that your partner doesn't know about. And maybe there's a piece of them that you don't know about, and unfortunately, very often we find out those things the hard way. The courage it takes to be honest in a relationship. Like I said earlier, communication is the core issue that most couples go into counseling for. Unfortunately, by the time they get into couples counseling, they're already at the point where one of them at least has one foot out the door. I can't tell you how often I've had a couple come to me, and when I actually start asking questions, it's very clear to me that one of the people already knows they want to break up, and they're hoping that the therapist can help it be an easier process, but they haven't been honest with their partner as to why they're going to therapy. They really want the therapist to be that intermediary to help them get out of the relationship. And sometimes, very often, I mean, I get that right away, but sometimes it doesn't come out for a few sessions. And it's a very manipulative thing to do to your partner. But I do understand that there's fear of, you know, most people say, well, I didn't tell them that because I didn't want to upset them. I knew it would hurt them, so I didn't say it. I didn't tell them I was angry because I knew they'd be upset. Or I didn't tell them about what I did because I knew they'd be hurt and angry. Well, the truth is, you weren't being altruistic. You weren't doing it for their sake. The truth be known, most of the time, is I didn't say that to them because I didn't want to deal with the discomfort that I would have to go through if I got honest with them about what I did or some other part of who I am. So get honest and stop this altruistic cover-up. You know, be honest with yourself, be honest with your partner, at least start by being honest with yourself. You have something you need to talk about. You're afraid to do it because you're feeling uncomfortable. You're afraid of their reaction. You're afraid you're going to be judged. Maybe you're afraid you're going to be abandoned. Maybe you're afraid that you're going to be found not desirable, not lovable. And maybe that fits into your own belief systems. I'm not wanted. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. Nobody wants me. People don't stay for me. You know, it's important that the honesty start on that level of what are your core beliefs? What are the things that are going on inside you that, in my belief, actually got established in the womb and at birth? because you're already developing that sense of who you are. It may have been from your parents that you were picking up in the womb. It may have been at birth that mom or dad wasn't necessarily wanting you, or both of them maybe. Maybe you were a mistake, that you weren't planned. So you grew up with this feeling that I'm always feeling like I'm a mistake, or everything I do is a mistake. And that starts from even being a mistake for a lot of people. So let's talk about relationships for a minute, because to me this is the core issue about telling the truth faster. In my own life, like I said, I'll get back to me anytime. In my own life, I had come out of the closet being a gay man when I was in college. But actually, many years later, I actually got married to a woman, which confused a lot of people in my life who knew me. My now ex-wife knew that I was gay when we met, but in all honesty, I fell in love. And I know she loved me, and I had never been loved by someone as much as she was loving me, and her family accepted me. And in all the stuff, and I realize in hindsight now, there was so much about my homosexuality that felt I'm not lovable, nobody will want me, and all these other things, that when I actually encountered this natural flow with another human being and feeling that desired and that wanted, it was intoxicating. Now, if I really was conscious and not still in a lot of my own pain, I would have said, this friendship is one of the most important things in my life, and left it there. But instead, I went on, got married. We had been together 3 years total, counting the marriage, but within just a few months, it's like this awakening happened, and even though our sex life was very satisfying, there was something missing, and I knew I had done the wrong thing, and I was in such shame about what am I going to do, how do I tell her, because I knew that I had a lot to lose. I knew that by telling her the truth, she was going to be devastated and hurt, and her family would be very angry, she'd be angry, my family is going to get more confused now, all this stuff, but I knew at a certain point I had to. And it had to come out. And I wasn't hiding it very well. Something was wrong. And the truth is, we never hide it very well. So get honest. We think we're hiding it. And it's like when my parents told me that they were going to get divorced after, a few months shy of the 30th wedding anniversary, I turned to them and I said, it's about time. And they looked at me in this shock. You mean, you knew? I said, duh. It's like, I lived in this house. I grew up with the two of you. Something's never been quite right. I knew that the kind of love that could be there wasn't there. And why didn't you do this long ago? For the sake of the kids, all this other stuff. But don't underestimate what people are picking up and what they're observing. And certainly don't underestimate what a child is picking up and a child is observing. Because they don't have a lot of things interfering with their ability to intuit. They're still closer to that level of innocence. They're still closer to that level of truth themselves. Kids have to be taught to lie. They have to be taught that at a certain point, it's dangerous to speak the truth. And I'm not just talking about punishment or discipline that's natural and normal to help a child grow and mature. At a certain point, an adult and a parent teaches a child that lying and withholding the truth is a safer way to go. So think about it. Is that the message you're giving your kids right now? And what can you do about it? And if you don't know what to do about it, then seek some help in your parenting skills. Be honest with yourself that maybe you need help in learning how to be a better parent. It's not a natural thing. There's no manual that comes with it. People do it by trial and error, but these are sensitive, vulnerable souls you're dealing with. Trial and error can really mess up a kid. Learn what you can. Get some help when you can. Be honest that, maybe you're not doing everything right, and maybe this is harming my child. And maybe family counseling, or maybe some parenting classes, or whatever. Be honest. I have a cousin who is also, who's a therapist who also married a therapist. And their son had a lot of diagnosable issues, ADD, which I have also, ADD and other things going on, that some medications would have helped all those years. And my cousin's husband was so proud, false pride, and so afraid to be honest that he was raising a child that maybe in his mind was deemed defective and maybe needed some of the help his own clients needed, and he didn't let that kid get it. He didn't say, we need to get you on some antidepressants, maybe some help for the ADD and the distractibility, and the kid's been serving 2 years in prison because he was so out of control and he got into drugs and all these other things. And, I mean, that's a pretty major call for help. And in prison, they put him on the meds, and now he's finished his GED, taking college credits. It's like his moods are stable, and all because a parent was not willing to be honest and say, hey, this is just the way it is. It's not my fault that my child may need some help. You know, I do the best I can, and the best I can means being honest about what my child needs in terms of support. And get over your own embarrassment. That child's life is at stake. Get over your own embarrassment and your fear of family's judgment. Be honest. That child's life is vulnerable. That child's life is in your hands. Do something. Do anything so that they're getting the foundation they need. And that foundation that they need is being taught that it's okay to tell the truth. And if you read Dear Abby, and now there's a Dear Amy, and there's a, you know, Dear, there's a Carolyn column, and all of them, how many of those questions that you see written into those things are, I have something I need to say, and I'm afraid to say it. A teenager writing in and say, this is what I'm feeling, and I'm afraid to go to my parents. Or it's something like, I got date raped, or something else happened, and I don't know who to tell or where to go to. These kids are being taught to keep their mouth shut, and they're in pain. Open the door and make sure that there's some place that a child can go to get honest. Hopefully with their parents, but if not, make sure that there is somebody, whether it's a therapist, a minister, rabbi, somebody that's there, a teacher, guidance counselor. So the issue of honesty in relationships is paramount. And we're going to actually take a short break here, and we're going to come back in just a few minutes. This is Stuart Ultra on KXAM, Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and we deal with mental health issues on the show every day, now at our new time and day on Saturday at 1 p.m. And we do have time left if any of you want to call in and ask a question or make some comments about anything I've been saying. The number is 480-949-1310. Actually, during the break, we got a caller, and they're no longer on, but I got the question from them. And what she was asking was, how can you start out a relationship with a man being totally open and vulnerable up front? In other words, laying his whole life out on the line, all the sensitive things, all the pain that he's been through and whatever history he's had. And then all of a sudden, after a while, he needs out of the relationship, saying we want to be friends, but as soon as the breakup occurs, there's no communication after that at all. Confuses the other person, I know, because they're working on the premise of what they're being told to be true. So the initial opening up, of course, creates a very deep intimacy. The in this case, the woman who's hearing all of this background and all the pain and the abuse that he had in childhood and everything else is feeling over the top, because here's this man so sensitive and so trusting. And that feeds our need to feel trusted, to feel like we have a real deep purpose in another person's life, and that this is a man like, stereotypically, men don't usually open up like that, at least not at the beginning. Maybe it takes some time, but But, I mean, that's a cultural thing with men, although there are plenty of women who keep things pretty bottled up, too. But here, all of a sudden, this intoxicating sense of, I trust you, I'm handing you all the sensitive information, you know, please don't hurt me, also like others have in the past, which then really adds a challenge. But if you think about what this guy is, what the subtext is saying, possibly, I mean, I don't know this guy, but, you know, from my own experience as a therapist, very often there's a subtext. And the subtext is based on that man's own belief systems about himself. All of the beliefs that he started creating based on an abusive childhood, which is, I'm not lovable. When people really know who I am and what I've been through, they won't hang around. And that nothing is going to last. And maybe if his abusers were parents or somebody that he really trusted, that I cannot trust. The closer I get to someone and the more love is identified, love equates hurt and abuse. So he's not really trusting the relationship because he doesn't have the ability to trust relationships. So the longer he stays in it, the more anxiety and fear is building. Okay, this person now knows all this stuff. Now when are they going to use it against me? When are they going to come back and hurt me? When are they going to do something to prove my belief system correct? And that is, people that love me hurt me. And if it's not happening, imagine for a minute if you have this anticipation of something happening, good or bad, and it hasn't happened yet, what happens to you? You start going over the edge, whether it's can't sleep at night, maybe it's excitement, maybe it's terror, whatever it is, it starts consuming. So the only way to be safe at a certain point, if that's your belief system, and you find out if that's the belief system, usually by looking at patterns in relationships, then my guess is this is not either he's had a history or patterns of choosing women, and maybe even employers and things like that, who do end up hurting him and abusing him, and that feeds into it. But now he's in a relationship where this person is respecting this information, respecting this material, and still loving him because of the vulnerability and his honesty, and maybe in spite of all he's been through, and there's a part of him that cannot accept that. There's a part of him that cannot believe that he's worthy of actually having someone like this in his life. And there's a part of him that's still holding to the belief that it's not going to last and I better get out of here before I really get hurt. And it's the only way he knows how to function. I better get out of here before that other shoe really drops. All right? And basically, my sense of it is what he probably did at the beginning of that relationship was put out a test and get to it as quickly as you can. Okay, if this isn't going to work like all the others haven't worked, I might as well do it early on and get out of here and get through the pain that much faster and just keep moving on. And what he's going to do is he's going to keep moving on until he actually starts healing those wounds that are in there. And her question also was, I don't understand. You know, he was so open and he communicated and even when we broke up, he still wanted the friendship and now we're broken up and he doesn't communicate at all. Well, again, he's in such shame and such guilt that it's too hard for him to be around that person because he knows now that he's been the perpetrator of the pain and the hurt like others have done to him. And he knows what that's like. And it's probably much too difficult for him to show up and be present knowing that when he looks in her eyes, he's seeing the same pain that he's felt because of that childhood stuff and everything else. It's just too difficult for him to be present. Does that make sense to all of you listening? And my guess is a lot of you can relate to this scenario because it is so common. You know, we got so close and it was just so, but why didn't it work? It didn't work because he really, truly wasn't available, and he's still not available. He's hiding behind the pain and the patterns and the behaviors, and he's still not available. He's not available in his own life. And very often what people will do to distract themselves from their own guilt and their own shame is create a distraction. You know, we talk about rebound relationships. So what are rebound relationships? They are relationships that we get into very shortly after getting out of another relationship to distract us from being honest about the things that we need to deal with about the previous relationship, to grieve, to deal with our feelings of guilt and shame or our anger. So rebound relationships, you know, while maybe 1% of them may really move to a higher level and work, most of them are just that, rebound relationships. I mean, you hear about them all the time, and most of us have been in them. They are those things to help us distract and ease the pain. It's almost like an addict needing to get drunk or do drugs or have sex or whatever to numb themselves. So a rebound relationship for a lot of people is that period of numbing because they don't know how to honestly deal with what they just did or the hurt that they just experienced or the anger that they brought up. And very often at that point, it's not just the pain of the current breakup that starts flooding. What usually happens is the floodgates open and the whole lifetime of the pattern starts showing up at a time like this, and that's so overwhelming that people are afraid they're going to suffocate and die in it unless they're getting help. This is where a good therapist comes in. This is where a good support group comes in. Something that will allow you to stay clean and stay honest. If you're the one that's been the perpetrator, that you get the help while it's still raw. Because while it's still raw from the current thing, you have easier access to work with that therapist on the childhood stuff and all these other things, because the blocks and the barriers that you've developed as your own survival technique are not as strong at that point. It's a perfect time to start therapy. It's a perfect time to show up at a 12-step meeting or other types of support groups so that you can access those things from an emotional and psychic and spiritual level, not just an intellectualized level. That's the time to do it. And if you're the person that's been left and feels the hurt and the lying and the one that's been lied to, now's a good time to do it, because chances are you have your own set of patterns that keep creating this kind of relationship over and over again. Does that make sense to all of you? And a lot of you know what I'm talking about, because a lot of us, and I say us, a lot of us have experienced this type of relationship probably from both sides. Because if we're not dealing with our anger about it, chances are we're going to leak it on the next person or somewhere down the road. We're going to be the one that when another person gets close to us, we're still angry at the one 3 times ago, and that poor guy or woman is going to get the brunt of all the unresolved anger we've had from 10 years ago or the last relationship. You have a responsibility to keep yourself current, and you keep yourself current by telling the truth faster. And that gets us back around to the topic here, because telling the truth faster, you know that if you have something to say, you know you're not fully present in your life, because what's happening is you're in your head rehearsing having the conversation. And you may never have the conversation, but how many hours and sleepless nights have you gone through rehearsing that conversation? Rehearsing what you'd write in a letter. I mean, I've done it. We've all done this. Get out of the rehearsal mode and speak the truth. Tell the truth faster. It's such an important concept. It's such a simple statement. I've had clients that I've worked with for a while, and maybe they come back, you know, a year later when they realize they need a little bit more work or some fine-tuning or another crisis has come up, and they'll tell me, you know that phrase, tell the truth faster? It's like my mantra now. And it's like, it's so great for me to hear that, because to me the whole point of therapy is to get out of therapy. And not a lot of therapists are going to tell you that, because our bank account is dependent on how many client hours we see and how many we can get in and stuff. And there are times when things are slow, times when it's busy, you know. But to me, the whole point of therapy is to get out of therapy. And to me, the best referrals that I get are from other clients who have seen me encourage them to move on. You got some work done. You've gotten some information done. You know, break that attitude that because I go into therapy, this is going to be the rest of my life. we're all growing throughout our lives, and maybe from time to time after you get some very deep work done, you may want to go back. I have some clients who can afford it, and they like that gift they give themselves once a week to have a safe space to just talk about what's going on in their lives. There's no deep issues, but it's just a way that they keep themselves current and honest by having a space. They can afford to do that. Some can't. But the whole point of therapy is to get yourself to the point of growth and self-esteem and confidence and integrity that you don't need that weekly session. And that's the role of a therapist, is to help people uncover the strength and the beauty within themselves and the sense of safety that they could be out in the world as that light that we're all born to be. So we're talking a lot here. We talked about politics, religions, corporate honesty or dishonesty, and the core of the whole thing has to do with relationships, but it really gets down to being honest with themselves, with yourselves, with myself. It starts there. And like I said, if something's there and you don't know how to access it, but you know there's a piece of your puzzle that you're not willing to look at or don't feel safe with, then you reach out and you get some help. So think about that and just know real clearly you will feel better on the other side of it. Okay? And I say to people all the time, there's no way around any issue. The only way to the other side of an issue is to move through it. The only way to heal it is to be honest enough to walk through that darkness, and people call it the dark night of the soul or whatever. It's not always that dark. We just think it's going to be, so we, again, avoid it. We numb it, whether it's through addictions like sex or drugs or alcohol or love addiction or food or shopping and debting and all this other stuff. You know, all of us, we live in a society that teaches us how to numb. For some people, television and movies are the way to numb and just check out all the time. There's plenty of things in our society we can do to numb and distract ourselves. That's not a hard thing to find, and all of you know that. But what is difficult to do, and oftentimes not near as difficult, when you find the right therapist, then what you're going to find is a safe place where you can be who you are with somebody that is not judging you. And that's the biggest thing. And the judgment issue, I mean, the way I look at it is everybody that comes into my office is already judging themselves more than I could ever. And so why should I? That's not what they came here for. They came to me for some honesty, but not judgment. Okay, so think about that. That's what you're going to a therapist for. That's what you're reaching out for help. To get out of your own self-judgment, and, you know, that's where we're going to go. Okay? So, I have only a couple of minutes left, and I want to thank any of you that have been listening, or all of you that have been listening to the show, and that have found this somewhat informative. If you want to email me and give me your comments, you could do that at tellthetruthfasper.com. There's a way to reach me. And that's one way. And you can keep listening and tell your friends about it each week. We're going to be on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And we'd love to hear your comments and have some callers in the future. The way I kind of like to look at myself is, for lack of a better example, Fraser Crane without the arrogance and attitude. You'll get some compassion from me. You'll get some insight from me, I hope, and a chance to kind of anonymously air some of your truth while maybe helping other people who are afraid to call in and ask the questions. Your question and the piece of work that you're needing to do, you have no idea how many other hundreds of people who are listening might get a lot of help. That's why support groups and 12-step meetings help. People hear someone share, and that's what helps them. And there are two people I want to thank before I close the show today. One of them is Joan Green, who's the owner and operator of a really good new restaurant and club called Tinseltown Tavern on Scottsdale Road. I had dinner there last night and talked to them about doing some joint work with the radio show. And Joan is an amazing person, and the place has great food and a great ambiance. And, you know, myself living in Hollywood, it was great to kind of have a little feeling of home being in Tinseltown there. So it's quite wonderful. And the other person I want to thank is Michelle Kaur, who's been helping me throughout my career here. And she has, speaking of relationships, a organization called Happy Hour Dating called Speed Dating. And I'm going to have her on the show in the future to talk about it because our time's almost up today. But Happy Hour Dating, if you want to know more about the speed dating thing, you can go to happyhourdating.com and get some information and find out from Michelle when the next event is taking place. And I want to thank Michelle. I want to thank my new engineer, Rob. It's been a real pleasure. And it's been great doing this from the studio. I feel like I'm doing a radio show. So thank you. This is Stuart Altshuler on Tell the Truth Faster. Tune in next week.